Good evening. I'm Erin Granger with the KUAC Newsminer Update. An Army fuel tanker rolled on the side of the Richardson Highway near Harding Lake this morning, spilling an undetermined amount of jet fuel. According to Tom DeReuter from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, the tanker was carrying a full 2,600-gallon tank of JP-8 military-grade jet fuel when it spilled. DeReuter said they were able to get the leaks under control within the first 30 minutes, but some holes are still dripping, leaking oil. DeReuter said as far as he knew, the accident involved only the tanker and no other vehicles. The driver was not seriously injured, but had a bruised shoulder. As far as cleanup goes, DEC officials say equipment is on the scene, but the first step will be removing snow from the area to see how much fuel spilled. The tanker is off the road at mile 317 of the Richardson. According to DOT spokesperson Meadow Bailey, the tanker was still in the ditch as of this afternoon, and drivers should expect slowed traffic and lane closures. Golden Valley Electric Association expects to restart its problem-plagued Healy 2 power plant this spring. Repair work continues at the facility that suffered two explosions in 2016. Golden Valley President and CEO Corey Borgeson says if all goes well, Healy 2 will be restated in May.
We're still saying it's going to be done in April and ready to start up on oil in May.
It's standard practice to use diesel to restart a coal-fired power plant. Borgeson said it's important to carefully proceed step by step on the restart, given Healy 2 has been idle since 2016.
When you start up a plant that hasn't run now for over a year, you got all the systems that have to be tested and checked, and you're very careful to run it at low levels to make sure everything's working before you really ramp it up.
The 50-megawatt plant operated for about 7 months before Golden Valley shut it down in March of 2016 after an explosion in the plant's coal handling system. The co-op spent about $1 million to repair damage and halted a restart attempt later in the year after a second smaller blast in the same system, which feeds pulverized coal into a combustion chamber. Golden Valley's board subsequently authorized spending up to $20 million on Healy 2 repairs and upgrades. Although this spring's restart will use oil, GVEA anticipates transitioning to coal after about a week.
There's a lot of testing and also testing for emissions to make sure it's meeting the emissions requirements.
If no further problems arise, the plant will be commissioned in August and begin full power operation at that point. Golden Valley has spent more than $175 million on Healy 2 since buying it in 2013 for $44 million from the Alaska Industrial and Development Export Authority. Zoya Denure is out of the Iditarod. A release from the Iditarod says the Delta Junction area-based musher scratched this morning at the Squintna checkpoint for health reasons. A post on her Facebook page says she was stalled at the Yetna Station checkpoint for 4.5 hours yesterday due to an elevated heart rate. It says she normally has medication for the condition but hasn't needed it in recent months and forgot to bring it with her on the trail. Janura is the first musher to scratch from this year's race. The Nome area moose population has been decreasing. The Alaska Energy Desk's Elizabeth Jenkins reports on a three-year state and federally funded study aimed at understanding what's going on.
Warren Hansen is counting down the days until he can fly over the tundra to look for moose. Hansen is a wildlife biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. This beeping is just a demo, but in the aircraft that sound will be transmitted from Hansen's moose to a radio receiver. Or rather, the 16 calves he collared last fall. Hopefully they're emitting a sound like this. But this sound could be closer to the truth. That's what Hansen calls the mortality signal. In an area north of Nome, the moose population is decreasing by about 12% annually. Moose turned up in Nome around the 1930s, and scientists aren't totally sure why. It's possible they could have just naturally migrated into the area.
Probably a pretty impressive sight to see this long-legged dark animal standing on a hillside.
Tony Gorn has lived in Nome for 20 years, and he spent most of that time working as a management biologist for the Department of Fish and Game. Back in the 1980s, the moose population was booming. So much that biologists wondered if the landscape could even sustain it. And by the late 2000s, Gorn was on the job, capturing calves to weigh them and see how the animals were getting on. The first few years
kind of told us that, yeah, no, things are okay.
But the next 2 years, heavy snow fell in Nome, and their weight dropped. Management biologists wondered if there were too many moose, so they increased the hunting quota. But since then, the population started to decline more rapidly.
There's definitely not one single thing that we could call the silver bullet.
Still, one thing's for certain. Winters in Nome are not as cold as they used to be. Moose eat shrubby plants like willow.
You know, we see our willows completely encased in ice.
When the study is done in about 3 years, the Department of Fish and Game hopes to have a better understanding about what's going on. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Nome.
For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or KUAC.org. I'm Erin Granger.